Tathapare, Siddhagana, Maharshibir, Yevai, Samantat, Anu, Nilalohitam, Namaskritam, Praha, Sasanka, Sekaram, Krita, Pranamam, Prahasan, Ivatmabhu, Tato, Tata. So, Apare, the others. Siddhagana, the Siddhas. Maharishibhi, along with the great sages. Ye, who? Vai, indeed. Samantat, from all sides. Anu, after. Nilalohitam, Lord Shiva. Namaskritak, making obeisances. Braha, said. Shashanka, Shikaram, to Lord Shiva. Krita Pranamam, having made obeisances. Prahasan, smiling. Eva, as. Admabhu, Lord Brahma. All the sages who were sitting with Lord Shiva, such as Narada and the others, also offered their respectful obeisance to Lord Brahma. After being so worshipped, Lord Brahma, smiling, began to speak to Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma was smiling because he knew that Lord Shiva is not only easily satisfied, but easily irritated as well. He was afraid that Lord Shiva might be in an angry mood because he has lost his wife and had been insulted by Daksha. In other words, to conceal his fear, he smiled and addressed Shiva as follows. Now, let's see what he says. Okay, we just go another verse. I read the English to make it easier. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I know that you are the controller of the entire material manifestation, combination, father and mother of the cosmic manifestation, the supreme Brahman beyond the cosmic manifestation as well. I know you in that way." Purport. Although Lord Brahma had received very respectful obeisance from Lord Shiva, he knew that Lord Shiva was in a more exalted position than himself. Lord Shiva's position is described in Brahma Samhita. There is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Shiva in their original position, but still Lord Shiva is different from Lord Vishnu. The example is given that the milk in yogurt is not different from the original milk from which it was made. Om Magyan Timdan Vyasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshun Unmilitam Yinat Tasmai Sri Uravinama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Prantika Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pravunityananda Sri Advita Gradha Sri Vasadi Gold Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Srila Jiva Goswami explains in his book Sarva Samvidhi that there are, basically speaking, three types of knowledge. And one type of knowledge is called pratyaksha, direct perception. And that's what we normally see in this world, that but pratyaksha we try to understand. Actually, every animal tries by pratyaksha, by direct experiences. So we try with our five senses to observe what is going on. Say some disease happens to us, then we say, well, I'm sick. With our five senses, we observe, with our mind, with our intelligence, I'm sick. But if we hear from scripture, if we look through the eyes of scripture, then we could understand our disease differently, if you look from a higher level. We can understand that this is Krishna's arrangement. And therefore let me be satisfied. He gives me exactly what I need. Not more, not less. He never gives me more or less than I need to learn. And in this way I be able to appreciate Krishna's presence in all things. So with our five senses we cannot make this out. With our material intelligence also not. Say your brother dies of cancer, like in my case. 7 years old, terrible suffering. Skull opened so many times. So with your senses, I could not find any justice here. I couldn't find any justice. I saw with my eyes this child was suffering terribly. And with my intelligence, I thought, where is justice here? Why is it that such a small child suffers? And then I took shelter and looked into the Bible, and there it says that everyone reaps what he sows. And that the wages of sin is death. But then I asked myself, what has he sown? He's just a little child. You know, I couldn't figure it out. I was a Catholic. I couldn't figure it out. So, using my intelligence, up to the point even using scripture, trying to understand through scripture, why is my brother suffering? I couldn't make it out. Neither through my senses, nor my mind, nor my intelligence, it didn't make sense. Why is there a God? Why my brother is suffering? So pratyaksha doesn't work in this case, you know. And even what I heard there from the Bible didn't make sense to me, because there's a lot of talk of everything, but there's not much talk about reincarnation and karma. For that you have to go here. So I became an atheist because of it. By all logic, reason, argument, I said there is no God, there's no justice. It is random. Somebody suffers, somebody enjoys, somebody is happy, somebody is distressed, somebody has everything, somebody has nothing. It's random. There's no other conclusion. And so it is interesting that Srila Prabhupada said, I pointed this out last week and it just comes back to me, the thought, that when he talks about the Bible, that he says in the last sentence, or about materialistic scriptures, he says in the last sentence, A, that they are not very perfect, that they have been recently manufactured and are therefore full of mistakes. And then he said this little sentence that is very important. When the scriptures of the Yavanas, namely Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran, cannot properly answer inquisitive followers, naturally those advanced in knowledge and philosophy lose faith in such scriptures. They become atheists. Isn't that very clear? We have Rousseau came, and before, in the Middle Ages, even in the Middle Ages, people understood that if somebody gets sick, that is a finger of God. If somebody is rich, that is a finger of God. So the people were kind of respectful to rich people because they understand they were blessed. And they were poor and they were not so blessed. It was a finger of God. Why? They couldn't figure out. They said, well, we cannot understand God. But he puts us into a position of being poor and those people in a position of being rich. He puts me in a position of being blind. It is coming from God. They had that understanding in Middle Age. Then Rousseau came, the French philosopher, and he said, this is completely ridiculous. We are good, and we are all made to enjoy. And there's no cause to our suffering except random. It's just by random, there's no God. And actually, you know, we are meant to be happy all the time. And so therefore people became depressed because they were not happy. They couldn't understand why I'm depressed. They couldn't see anymore this mechanism that has something to do with God. And Rousseau started this whole thing off, what we now have as materialistic civilization. It was him. He was the first philosopher who said that we are meant to have everything, we are meant to earn everything, we are good, and everything belongs to us. And there's no God in control, and if somebody is sick, well, that's just how material nature works. Somebody's getting sick, somebody's getting disease, somebody's getting this family, that family, that's just how that works. It's just by chance. You know, it's just there's nobody behind. And so he ruined our culture, because even the although imperfect in the Middle Ages, people understood, you know, 14th, 15th century, 16th century, that if somebody is sick, this is a finger of God. And don't ask questions why. Don't ask questions. Christian religion means don't ask questions. You ask questions in all other spheres, but in religion you don't ask questions. You just have to accept. There's a man with a long beard, and he's keeping book about whatever you do, and he, by the end of the day, you go here, down there, or you go up there, and St. Peter locks you into the heavenly planets, and in between you, if you're not that good, you have to suffer for some time. So they have some sort of a story they believe in. It's a story, basically speaking. It's not, it doesn't stand up to logic. Why should, and then if there's some idea that there may be a guilt somewhere that I suffer, well, it's because Adam and Eve ate an apple millions or thousands of years ago, and I participate in their original sin. That's kind of the explanation. You know, it's when I became 16, it didn't make sense to me, and so people dump it. And that's what you have. People go, they may go to churches, you know, just out of habit, like people go to the bathroom. And so, because there might be something out there just in case. And they don't want to, you know, put this option aside. Never knows. Say there is a God, just for argument's sake. I better turn up sometimes. But deep in the heart, they can't answer these questions. And so, because pratyaksha doesn't lead to, it is, it says there's three sections of pratyaksha. One's called anupalabdhi, it's non-recognition. You understand only to a certain degree. Then atihatya. Atiya, Rupa Goswami says. And that's by tradition. And then there's another type of pratyaksha, I mean knowledge derived by physical effort. You know, by physical effort, you can understand, you know, you experience something. So this is on a material level, knowledge is achieved by pratyaksha. And those funny people who fly around in space, 300 miles upon the earth, big deal, cost millions of dollars, billions of dollars, all they do is pratyaksha. This is a higher form of animal who try to, with their limited senses, look into space and try to find a hole, to look into the whole of nothingness, into nothingness, from nothing to nothing to nothingness. And so that's one thing. Then there's another type of, it's called anumana knowledge, and that is by implication that you can conclude, you can make certain conclusions. Just like, for example, you explain to a person, this is by implication, that well, you cannot see God, but look at this watch. You take this watch apart and you shake, put in a box, all the parts. And then how long you have to shake till it will be a watch again? You can shake forever. How many, if you take, the alphabet has what, 26 letters? You're the teacher, 26?
28.
Yeah.
28? Yeah, in Denmark.
Huh?
Yeah, in Denmark, 28, yeah.
Okay. Now, you can put it in a box. How long does it take to create a Macbeth of Shakespeare? Never. There are only 28 letters making up such a huge scripture. You need intelligence. You can have millions of monkeys typing and nobody will create a Macbeth because they're dumb. It needs a Shakespeare to put these 28 letters in such a combination that you have a Macbeth. So this is by, then you can say, so in the same way, this universe is so complicated. The human eye, the thousands of factors have to work precisely together that a person can see. Why do you think that this is by chance? This is by chance. Why do you think there was a big bang, an explosion, and then everything manifested properly? If you put a bomb in this room, you know, you have devastation. Every explosion is causing devastation. It drives everything apart. It doesn't drive things together. Doesn't put things together, it drives things apart. You know, That's the force of an explosion. In the beginning there was a big bang. How you come to law and order? You don't come by law and order. If you take a hammer and hit some item here, you know, you say you want to produce something, and you take a big stone and hammer it. Just by hammering, you don't produce a piano. Say, for example, somebody would say, "Okay, I will do this next time. I'll be a breakdancer. Now I'm going to, according to human understanding, there's an explosion, and now here's the thing, and I'm going to beat that thing really hard, that all the bricks are flying all over the temple room, and one day it will be a piano." This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So you can explain like this by what is called anumana interference. And then there is shabda, and that is revelation. First is perception, by perception. Then there's inference, by implication. And then there's revelation, shabda. And that is the ideal way. That this other, pratyaksha and anumana, they are there, but they are, their function is to be subordinate to shabda and not being taken as independent. You know, maybe there's a case for when you go into the kitchen and say, "That's milk," because my experience is that's milk. That looks like milk and that looks like curd. So there's a case for it. But when it comes outside our sense perception, if it goes beyond the veil of sense perception, then you have to hear. You have no other chance. You have to hear. And you have to have a proper source. So if you go to the Bible, God bless the sacred book to the Christians, there's a place for it, for people who are not asking much questions, but who are willing to suspend their intelligence. So there's a place for it. There are people who are willing to suspend their intelligence. And so for them, they are materialistic, they are scriptures which do not give understanding, deep understanding. That doesn't mean that if you faithfully follow the Bible, you are not able to get close to truth. Or maybe you give your life to Jesus completely and pray to Jesus and perform all kinds of wonderful activities, and so that you will be truly elevated. And if you really come to the point of loving God, I don't know how you do it. Say, for example, you would follow, "Our Father, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." So you start trying to find out, what is the name of God? You ask the priest, you don't know. And you end up as a Hare Krishna devotee. And he said, "I heard you have a name of God." He said, "Yes." "What is that name?" "It's Krishna." So that's why you chant Hare Krishna. You're chanting the name of God. "Okay, I will accept that, because in our Bible says we should chant the name of God. And we don't have a name, so let me chant Hare Krishna." So if you take these people, if you take the words for what they are, if you don't have a name for God, you have to look for a name on God. Very simple. And if you take the words of Jesus, "Thou shalt love thy Lord with all thy..." So I want to love Lord. You ask the devotees, "And how do you do that?" You just have to follow Jesus, you end up with Krishna. This is a fact. This was my development. You end up automatically, Krishna is guiding you. No way. Or Jesus is guiding you. Here. If you really want to follow him, if you really want to, not just lip service, but if you want to get into it, you know, then you feel guided, and you will automatically, you get a book, and you will read this book, and all of a sudden, boom, that all my answers, all my questions are answered here, all of a sudden. You see, if somebody is serious, you know, before I came to a Krishna consciousness, I gave up eating meat, understood that's out. You cannot eat meat, that's irreligious. I understood that. And I understood also, some or other, that there's reincarnation, otherwise life makes no sense. Unless there's reincarnation, God makes no sense, life makes no sense, there's no justice, this is all ridiculous. So you come, if you're seriously searching, you can understand, you pick up things. You hear about reincarnation. I think I heard about reincarnation when I read the book Siddhartha of Hermann Hesse. So all of a sudden, bing, it made sense to me. And I immediately turned back to religion, because I was into religion when I was a young boy. I always wanted to be a saint. That was my desire. I always used to play on the piano, you know, Christian songs for hours till my parents got rid of the piano. So the thing is, you get back there if there is some desire, if you're serious. So pratyaksha has its place, but it doesn't lead you to ultimate conclusion. Just like in this example, somebody's getting sick, but by pratyaksha, we realize a person is sick. I can understand I'm sick, and I start lamenting. If I go higher, then I see the divine arrangement, that this is happening because of something. I made a choice somewhere that leads to this suffering. It is my choice. You're making choices, you know. I made a choice that leads me to this suffering. In other words, this particular incident that somebody is doing to me, for example. I read three, I didn't read it, I heard about it. Somebody wrote something terrible on the internet about myself. And it's just so bizarre. But the thing is, many of our leaders encounter that. Even Radhanath Maharaj was terrible on the internet, some accusation about the New Vrindavan time. Bizarre. There are people out there, you know. So it was, somebody told me, he said, don't read it. So I didn't read it. But then I understood, you know, these are some or other I'm supposed to suffer. These are a result of choices one makes in one's past life. And so it comes back in this way or in that way. Best thing is just to see from the divine point of view that these are all arrangements. These are the pinpricks. We need to put our faith in Krishna always, whatever it is, disease, some pinprick or some roadblock or what it is. There will be so many roadblocks in our life. We'll encounter this roadblock, that roadblock. These are roadblocks and they are produced by Krishna so that we recognize him in the presence, that we recognize his hand there. And then if we understand these are basically the results of our own choices, then we are taking responsibility. This is the thing. We take responsibility for whatever happens to us. We take responsibility for it. It says, it's not you who kicked me in the face. It's true you are, but you're just a hand in the big plate. But basically speaking, I take the responsibility, and I can do this only because I rely on shabda, on what is in scriptures. I perceive the reality through scriptures, and that is called shastra chakshu. By guru, shastra, and sangha, we determine what is reality. You know, so like for example, I saw this film with Lalitanath about GMO, and it is such I was so depressed when I saw this. It's so depressive. You know, if you see the state of the world and after the chemical pollution of the planet, and the scientists said the chemical pollution is no problem, it's a problem, but after some years it will fade out, unless we keep on adding on. He said the planet is pure. But I mean the genetic pollution, he says there's nothing you can do. You create a monster, it's a runaway. And one time Srila Prabhupada said it's a dinosaurus where the manipulations of scientists. He said that of a previous Kali Yuga. Did you know that? One time Prabhupada said that. He said these are the manipulations of the scientists. They're created by the scientists. That they were fiddling around with life. So you never know what is coming out of there.
In the previous Kali Yuga.
Previous Kali Yuga.
Not this one.
No. Yeah, dinosaur are very old, you know. They're not. I've not seen any dinosaur in while driving over the hills of Denmark. You know, they're very old. So there was a Yuga, Kali Yuga before.
Yeah.
There was a winter, and then there was the spring, which is Satya Yuga. Then there's Treta Yuga, which is the summer. Then there's Dwarapa Yuga, which is the autumn, and then there is Kali Yuga, which is the winter, and then the spring starts again, the Satya Yuga. You know, so it goes on and on and on and on, like we see in nature. You know, spring follows winter, etc. And so he said, these are the manipulations of the scientists, he said sometimes. And it wouldn't surprise me what they do.